Give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. You're worthy, Lord.
You may be seated for a minute tonight. Good to have Brother Trevor and his family here tonight.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. It's good to have each one of you here tonight as well. Amen. I didn't try to hold out, but for some reason I just can't. And I don't know, I just feel the Lord pressing on me. I want to say something real quick here. I usually don't do this, and you all know that. So if the Lord didn't tell me to do it today, I wouldn't have done it today. I would have waited until probably maybe next Wednesday. But I'm going to... Let me read a scripture here real quick, and just listen close. If you want to look it up later, or even now if you really have to, it's 1 John 4. It says this, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world." Here's where I want to emphasize. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Okay? Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Brother Branham, one time, I know a few situations I can think of right off the top of my head, but I believe it was in the seals. I think it's questions and answers. Brother Branham is trying to answer a question, and all of a sudden they stop him, and Brother Branham's like, "What?" And they're telling him that there's a sister that has passed away. And Brother Branham said, "Look, some of you saints over there, you put your hands on her, and let's pray." He said, "Heavenly Father, you know, we pray for this sister. She's trying to enjoy the message, and she's fainted. We just pray you help her in Jesus' name." And he said, "Look, now don't worry about it. It's going to be okay." Well, you go a little bit later, and you can tell that it's not okay just yet, or somebody, because he says, "No, look. Is she, you know," and say, fine. And he actually gets down and he prays for the sister. So just get her over there by the window. She's going to be all right. One other time, Brother Branham, I believe he had at least he talks about Billy Paul. There was a woman, I think, had died in the prayer line. And he said, "Billy Paul, go pray for that lady. She'll get well." And he said that Billy Paul didn't want nothing to do with that dead woman. So Brother Branham went over there and raised her back to life. And I believe there's another man, too, that died in the prayer line. I think Dad was telling me, and I know the story vaguely. I didn't look it up just yet because I didn't think to do this today, but the Lord had other plans. Brother Branham calls him by name, and he came back to life and got converted by that. I think if you don't get converted by that, I don't know what, you don't have a chance. You know, somebody raised you from the dead. It would have been one thing. I believe Lazarus walked with the Lord after he was raised from the dead. I think that young boy that was raised, I think the mother would they served the Lord after that. I believe that's why God does that. But the reason I say these things is we know what happened Wednesday night, and I'm not trying to come against anybody or anything like that. I just want you to understand that I believe in teachable moments. You know what that means? Something happens and we can learn from that faster than we can talking about it for hours and hours and hours. When it happens, then you're like, oh, okay. Sister Melissa we've had other things happen too more than that. I believe she was having contractions of some sort, And what I want to teach the Church of the Living God is don't ever fear, ever,
right.
Okay? And that's everyone here. And I have it too, and I know you think I don't, but I have the same thoughts you all have. And many times when I pray for people, I have the same thoughts you have. This ain't going to work. They're going to die anyways. I mean, that happens. The thing of it is we have already overcome all that. It's already all overcome. See Sister Melissa? Does she have a baby? No. Why? She having contractions. She looks pretty good actually right now. She looks the best she's been in a little while. And we did. We prayed for her and things. And them going to hospital because that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying as a Church of the Living God, don't fear. Because and God help me. And I just have to tell you what I experienced. I can't speak for another pastor, another church. I don't know. But this is where God put me. Is I noticed that. I felt it. And I almost had to wait it out because if there's fear, you can't do nothing. You can't. And it's one thing for the unbelievers, and I believe that's why it happened. I hope that's okay. Who do we have here Wednesday night that's never been here before? We have 4 students here that need to hear the gospel. Why do you think it happened?
Sure.
Now, God allows it to happen, though. And he's going to figure out if people really care or not. If you can't get over the hump, you weren't predestinated in the first place. But I just want to say, look, little children, you're of God. Don't fear anything, because he that's in you now, okay, you, the individual, is greater than anything this world has to offer. Any fear, any torment, any confusion, as you just talked about, Jason. The Bible specifically told us that God is not an author of confusion, but of peace. So right there, when you start having confusion, we know that perfect love casts out all fear. You have fear, confusion. That's the devil right now. Don't pay him no attention. You sisters want to help each other and things, that's fine. But you've got to do it saying, this is going to be all right. There's nothing wrong. You see what I'm saying? Don't let the devil get in here. Because he won't just hinder you. He'll hinder them and the ones that you love, because we're letting him get the victory at that point. Because the devil doesn't win the victory. We let him. He can't beat a Christian. He really can't unless you let him. Just like you fighting a two-year-old and you let him beat you up. Why? Because he can't physically beat you, but you can let him beat you. Okay? That's what the devil really is. Don't give him no credit. The devil ain't got me. You give the devil way too much credit. Oh, big old devil. No, big old Jesus.
Amen.
The big old Jesus lives in you.
Amen.
So how many receive the Holy Ghost today? Praise the Lord. Well, you've got more power in there. As Brother Marion said, to create a whole world, a whole system to go with it.
Uh-huh.
I think you can take care of a little trial right here in the middle of service. So I hope that's okay tonight. And I'm not, I hope Sister Melissa doesn't take this as a rebuke to her. I mean it, all of us. All of us. We have to all learn. Say, this stuff happens. It doesn't happen if you just don't worry and you're just kind of cruising along and we don't really want to, you know, we're not going to serve God with all our heart. We're not going to expect for things. Well, then Satan, he's already got you. None of that stuff happens. But as Brother Branham said one time, remember the nice formal preacher came in, all nice dressed people, no sick, no crazies, and all, just nice formal service, prayed for one baby, like, you know, and kissed them, and you know, they went home. And then Brother Branham had a service, and here comes the insane, here comes the cripples, here comes just all kinds of things. But guess what? He that's sick needs a physician. That's why we're here. We're here as a hospital, a supernatural hospital. Amen. How many believe that tonight? You accept the word tonight? Is that all right? And I don't mean to disrupt service. I believe from now on. Look, maybe it's going to happen today. Maybe it's going to happen tomorrow. And that's why I couldn't wait till Sunday or Wednesday. And some of that wasn't here. I believe the only ones I don't see are Brother and Sister Russell and Brother and Sister Robinson. So maybe y'all can, they'll listen online probably if they really need to, or you can tell them. That's fine. So God bless you. I love you. Now, how many wants to hear the word tonight?
Yeah.
Amen. All right, let's stand together. We're going to invite Brother Trevor out. Let's just sing one more song. Sing it with all your heart and just create a nice atmosphere so that God can come and do whatever he wants tonight. How many's expecting great things from God tonight?
Amen.
Amen. We haven't been here 25 minutes yet. I think we got a little bit more steam. Amen. See, the same God. God answered both those prayers right there. And I did it on purpose. I hope that's okay. When unbelievers show up, it's not time for us to lay the gospel and say, well, I guess it won't happen. It's time to prove it right here and now.
Right.
Let them see. Look, we can talk all day out of a book. That doesn't really convince anybody. Let them see that what you're saying actually happens in real life. We got a whole wall of them, doesn't it? It happens every time we ask them.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just sing that song again. Soon and very soon. And Brother Trevor, you're going to come on. Let's sing with all hearts.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more dying.
Yes,
we are going to see the King.
have your Bibles, just turn to Hebrews chapter 11.
Yes, Lord.
We certainly have reason to give him praise.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I don't want to reveal the title of my sermon tonight just yet.
That's all right.
But I have to say at this point that song was the perfect song to sing. And I just love it when the Lord does things like that and just ordains,
yes, sir,
just shows us that this is an ordained moment that he had planned, and that we're in the right place at the right time. So
hey,
Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13 through 16, it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country."
Yes, I do. Amen.
"And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they had come out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country."
Yes.
Yes.
"That is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." If you just bow your heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're humbled by the presence of the great King in our midst. Lord, we're humbled that you said that where two or three were gathered in your name, you'd be in the midst, Lord. So you're here, the great King, the creator of the universe, our sustainer, our savior, the one who gives us every breath that we have, who gave us life, who condescended down to men of low estate and died for us to fulfill a great plan to show us your boundless love, Lord. Lord, we're in awe of you. Lord, we pray that you would teach us tonight. Stir our hearts, Lord God. Work life in us, Lord. Lord, let it be a supernatural occurrence, Lord, to touch our hearts, Lord. Not just a good sermon or a good speech, an intellectual thought, Lord. But let it be life and faith, revelation working on the inside of us,
Lord.
That we can receive strength for the journey. For, Lord, we declare right now we're seeking a city, Lord, a better country to come.
Yes.
Lord, come quickly is our prayer. We desire to be with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. Good to be here again with you all.
Amen.
I think this is the third time I've been here, so, which gives me confidence, because I was thinking, have I preached this one? But this is what the Lord put on my heart, so we're just thankful to be here.
Amen.
My family, my wife Anna Mae, and my son Zion and Azariah, daughter Gloriana. So I'd like to travel around with me a little bit. I'm thankful for it.
Amen.
I'm thankful for a family that loves the Lord, and we're very, very blessed. So tonight, if you would turn to Isaiah chapter 65. We talked here in Hebrews chapter 11 about a better country, seeking a country that we're looking for.
Amen.
And that is certainly on our hearts. And that's on, obviously, evidently on your hearts tonight, because you had another option.
That's right, brother.
There was 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
There's a game going on.
Sure.
I didn't know that. I had to look it up.
Right.
Actually, just back there. I was like, you know, is that happening? What's the teams? Maybe Michigan or Ohio or something close is on, and you know, I could pick on you all about a close basketball team, but I had to look it up. But I'm very clueless when it comes to that, because really I'm seeking a better country. I just don't care that much about
that.
So, but anyhow, so we're thankful to be here. We're thankful that we have a country that we can look to and that we're longing for. Now, Brother Branham says in the message, "Take on the whole armor of God," he says, now we're longing for somewhere. There's no death, no sorrow, no heartaches, no old age. That land is somewhere.
Yes.
We'll never be able to achieve it by guns and fighting and so forth of the natural carnal weapon, but there is a land that we can go to.
Amen.
It's a battle to get there. Now, when God gave Israel Palestine when he was in Egypt, but they had to fight for every inch
That's
of it.
Right.
He told Joshua in Joshua 1, he said, wherever the soles of your foot treads upon, that I have given you.
Amen.
So footprints means possession. So just keep on walking and pressing on. Every time you make a step into the kingdom of God, that's yours.
That's
and
right.
All things are possible that's given. And all things are given that's possible.
Amen.
But it's a battle.
That's right.
And so we're in a battle to get to this country that we're looking for. It's not an easy, Brother Bram says one time, we're not on a picnic.
That's right.
But we're on a battlefield.
Amen.
And when we receive the Holy Ghost, then it's a battle. It doesn't become easy and easy sailing after that, but it's a battle.
Right.
And so if you would turn in Isaiah 65. And just take a look at, I believe it's 65. Yeah, 65, start at verse 17. It says, behold, I create a new heavens, new earth. The former shall not be remembered nor come into mind, but be ye glad and rejoice forever in that thing which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy.
Right.
I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer.
Yes, Lord.
And while they are yet speaking, I will hear.
Amen.
And the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. The dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Now, Brother Branham talks about this being a millennium condition.
Right.
And we know that in the millennium, it's going to be like the Garden of Eden condition again.
Come on, brother.
That's the promise that we have. And what we're going to see is we're going to find that the curse that was placed on us there in the fall is broken.
Amen.
Because man will now live 1,000 days
yes.
to show that curse is broken. That day ye eat thereof, that day ye shall die. And we know that day being likened to 1,000 years.
Right.
We're going to live 1,000 years
praise
in the millennium.
God.
And there will be no death.
That's right.
There will be no crying.
Hallelujah.
The we're going to build our own houses. Sometimes I worry about
yeah.
that one.
Because yeah.
I'm just not that good with my hands. But
right,
I'm going to get some brothers of mine to help me.
Amen.
And we'll build our own houses.
Sure.
And we'll inhabit these houses. And nobody else is going to move into this
that's
house
right.
and take it over from you.
No.
There's no government that's going to say,
that's
well, you didn't pay your taxes.
That's
so.
Right.
Even though you own this house completely, we're going to take it away from you. That won't happen.
Amen.
The millennium is going to be a wonderful thing. You know, one of the one that just I really like, and just kind of a weird way my mind works, I guess, is it shall come to pass before they call, I will answer.
Yes, Lord.
And I just think, you know, it's like, how can we like, you know, what is, how do we really think of that? And it's like, you know, brothers, when you get home and you're tired, and you go and you sit down in the chair and you're thinking in your mind, oh, if I could just have a nice iced tea. I just, oh, man. And before that thought even finishes, your wife has just placed one in your hand already.
Hallelujah.
And this is kind of, I mean, this is a silly illustration, but this is the kind of thing that we'll have in the millennium. It is going to be the most wonderful time, the best thing
hallelujah.
That we can ever, we can't even imagine. No sin.
Hallelujah.
The devil's just going to be bound by chains of circumstance. He has nothing to work with anymore.
That's right.
Because you have had a change in your body.
That's right.
And this old
glory.
Flesh is God gone and you're in a glorified state. And you're just, you know, it's like, no, there's nothing there for the devil to work
that's
on.
That's right. Brother.
He has to just sit there and sulk.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, there's a couple believers. Them. Oh, look, 5 more believers. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
I love this place.
Exactly, brother. Come on.
Nothing he can do.
That's right.
Absolutely nothing he can do. You talk about a wonderful time. It's
yes.
The millennium
that's
is going
right,
to be a
brother.
Wonderful time.
Yes.
That's going to be our honeymoon with Jesus Christ.
Yes. Amen.
Now, so we all know that we're desiring a millennium.
Right.
Anyone
right.
here not desiring a millennium? Nope. No hands. Okay. Okay. Do you think anybody outside is not desiring a millennium?
Come on, brother.
Anybody at the grocery store not desiring a millennium? Atheists. Do you think they're not desiring a millennium? Everybody on the face of this earth wants a millennium.
Sure.
I mean, everybody, they wake up and in the morning and they think, boy, if I could just have everything exactly the way I want it,
right,
and, you know, just be lovely, I wouldn't have any struggles or cares or worries. I mean, isn't that what everybody in the whole earth, you know, it's like, they don't wake up thinking, boy, I just wish somebody would hit me in the head with a baseball bat.
Right.
Nobody does that. Everybody wants a millennium condition. They want things to be right now. They may want it in their own specific ways. My millennium would be like this, and my, you know, create your own. It doesn't work that way, but every, you know, we are not spiritual people because we're looking for a land to come. We're not spiritual people because we're looking for a millennium. That's not what makes us spiritual.
Yeah.
Because we have a promise and we see, oh, it's going to be wonderful, and yes, I want that. That doesn't make us spiritual.
Right.
Man, come on.
Because even the atheists, even you know, the wackos out in California that, you know, that are bunny huggers and tree huggers, what do they want?
Right.
Well, they want everybody not to hurt the trees, and they want everybody not to hurt the millennium. You know, nothing shall hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. I mean, that's what these guys are already doing. They just want it here and now.
Right.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Unfortunately, not everyone's going to get a millennium.
Amen.
Because there's many that try to get a millennium in the wrong way.
Yes, sir.
And so if we want to be part of the millennium, which we do,
amen,
then we would want to understand, okay, if there is truly this millennium,
sure,
and then and there's a certain way to get there, let's figure that way out.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
You know? If there's five doors and only one of them go to the millennium, well, teach me which door.
Yes, sir.
Because I'm going to go to that door. I don't want to mess with the others. Give me that door. I want to go there, okay?
Amen.
So, Brother Branham says, talking about the earth and birth pains, he says, God says, this earth stinks before him. It's so filthy. He says, walk into a restroom, the urinals, and just stink. It's contaminated. Exactly what the world smells too, like God smelling to it. Filthy. The whole thing is filthy.
Amen.
He says, God will burst her to pieces. I'll create a new heavens and new and earth. He said, yes, sir. What is it? Her womb hasn't brought forth a millennium. She has brought forth a perverted thing. Why? Trying to be wisdom.
Yeah.
He says, I've got nothing against Florida, and I don't mean this for you people from Florida, but when I crossed and went into Florida the first time, came back to Georgia there, I stood right there and said, as an American citizen, I give my part of it back to the Seminoles where it belongs. He says, why? They take better care of their yards than I do my hair. Everything is feather-edged. The palm trees has got lights all over it. Big, swanky yachts and things. He says, trying to bring a millennium without repentance. And that's my title tonight is Millennium Without Repentance. He says, to me, it's a bunch of nothing. I'd million times more, I'd rather climb in British Columbia to the top of a hill and look across the mountains that God created.
Yeah.
And man's hands never touched it. Certainly.
Yes, sir. That's right.
So we know that he's saying that they're trying to create a millennium without repentance.
Right.
We're never going to get to a millennium outside of repentance.
Yes,
because
sir.
Remember what we were just talking about? Satan being bound?
Yes, sir.
That's one of the wonderful things about the millennium. Well, if we're not even going to care about whether Satan's bound or not,
that's
because we're okay if he's afflicting us, or
if
we're buddy-buddy with him in certain areas of our lives, well, then why would we be in this same millennium that this Bible is talking about?
That's it,
we're not going to make it outside of a millennium. We can take care of our hair as good as the people in Florida take care of their yards, and that's not going to bring on a millennium.
Sir.
We could try to eat all the right foods and be all, you know, perfectly healthy and all of this stuff, you know, that so many try to do, and it's a wonderful thing to be healthy and have exercise and all these things, you know, but we spend so much time trying to put this shell and this mold on, and we paint the houses, and we, you know, I like to have a nice stripes on my yard. I don't have a zero turn mower, so I really have to do it. You know, I got to go there and 3-point turn, and then come back and 3-point turn, and go back. And it probably takes me an extra 20 minutes to mow my lawn because I like to have the little stripes. But at the end of the day, I've got a stripy lawn.
Right.
Sure.
Amen.
And the devil isn't bound yet.
That's right, brother. Exactly.
And they're still crying. There's still death. there's things that we continually try to do and try to do in our lives to try to make things better when it's not the right way.
Help us, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
And so we need to be aware of somehow the things. And so what we want to do is maybe look back through history and look into our own selves and say, oh,
yes,
okay,
Lord.
What am I doing? Am I trying to do something to try to produce a millennium through another means than just sheer repentance?
Amen, brother.
Because that's the avenue that God's given. Repent, and that's going to bring you to a millennium. But many times we try so many other ways.
Amen, brother. Hit it.
And so I just want to, we want to look in the past and look at some different characters through history and different systems and how they've tried to bring on a millennium. I've got just a little tickle in the back of my throat. Sorry. But, so, if you, Brother Branham mentions in Revelations chapter 7, and that's the chapter about the four winds and the angels holding back the four winds because it wasn't time yet. Brother Branham, that being, he said the 11th hour, the 11th month,
yep.
You know, and all these things, that it was the 11th hour worker that had not come in yet. And so God held that back.
Amen,
Brother Branham says it was time, and I think it was 1954, he said it was time for Armageddon right then.
Wow.
But God held it back because, hey,
thank you, Jesus.
None of us have been born yet.
Yes, sir.
You know, so God held those winds back because he's still got a message to come. He's still got people he wants to seal. But the earth at that point was time. It was ready and it was ripe for Armageddon. And the only reason World War I, which he says tells us it had a mysterious ending. And it did. It just stopped. They had an armistice and it just ended.
Amen. Right.
And it probably shouldn't have.
Right.
So it just ends that those four winds were held. But we know that there was a man in that time in Germany by the name of Adolf Hitler. And so because this war ended in this way, and all of the circumstances happened, and Germany was put under, you know, economic oppression at that time, they were trying to suppress Germany from ever being able to do this again.
Right.
And this man didn't really like this. And so he began to rise in popularity in his country, and suddenly, you know, we have an Adolf Hitler, as we all know him, as the leader there in Germany and the guy who was primarily responsible for World War II and millions and millions of death of Jews and many things. But if you look at, okay, what was one of the things that Hitler was trying to do?
Come on now.
Well, he, like anybody else, wanted the earth to be a wonderful place, right?
Come on, brother.
Now, to him and to his twisted mind, that meant, you know, the wonderful thing is to look like me.
Right. Sure, right.
You know, blonde hair and blue eyes.
Yeah,
you
know, right.
Hitler would have loved me.
Right.
You know, I was the perfect guy, for, you know, according to him, you know. And but if you, you know, that was his super race, right?
Right.
I love that part. Like, Hitler loved me. Just because of how I looked. Nothing to do with anything else. But that was Hitler's thing. If there was epilepsy or, you know, if there was some kind of deformity or defect, he didn't want you. If you were a Jew, he didn't want you. If, you know, different things about you, he didn't want you. And he begins to put into place a plan to exterminate the Jews and to get rid of these in society so that the best could succeed and do so wonderfully. And what can we do? We could have a super race.
Right.
And once we have this super race on earth, then we're in a millennium condition, right?
Sure, that's it.
You see, and so this is what Hitler is trying to achieve, and it's almost as if he knew the inspiration was there, that he knew that the millennium should already be on. That battle should have happened, and we should already be in the millennium, and I'm going to just try to make it myself then, and we'll get rid of people that aren't good, and then we'll be wonderful.
Uh-huh.
Well, we find that didn't really work for him, and that's not really the way God wants to happen. You see, Brother Branham says in the message Future Home, he says he never promised to raise up a new race,
as I
have said, but he promised to redeem the fallen.
Hallelujah.
Those that was the predestinated inherited as he has promised. He is the unchangeable God. We know that.
Amen.
He says in spoken word is the original seed. These last days, the true church bride comes to the headstone, will be the super race.
Amen.
A super church as she nears the great headstone.
Yeah.
They will be much, so much like him. Even they will be in his very image.
That's right.
In the order to be united with him, They will be one. They will be the very manifestation of the Word of the living God.
Amen.
That's what your pastor was trying to exhort you to be tonight, is to manifest the Word of God that's already promised to you.
Amen.
Now, he says denominations can never produce this.
That's right.
They will produce their creeds and dogmas mixed with the Word, and it brings a hybrid product.
Amen.
So tonight I want you to know, you can't Hitler your way into the millennium.
Glory
you can't Hitler your church into a millennium.
Right,
you know, we can't kill off enough brothers and sisters that we don't like, that don't meet our standard, you know, that aren't blonde-haired and blue-eyed and look like you want them to look, to make a millennium come into your church or into your life or into this world.
Amen.
That's not going to happen.
Amen.
So learn from history. The Hitler's way didn't work. It's not going to work in this day and age.
Amen.
But yet we find, brothers and sisters, so many times that we allow the devil to get in there, and we get a little tiff or a little something, or maybe there's a disagreement, and we're not discerning the Spirit.
Right.
As it said in 1 John 4 there.
On,
discerning the Spirit, confessing what? That Jesus Christ is coming to the flesh.
Yes,
amen.
Well, I thought they had to confess that, you know, the seven thunders were the... you know, whatever you decide that they mean.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Preach.
No. No, that's not what it said, is
Come on.
It?
Amen. That's right.
And so what do? We begin to kill off the people that don't feel the seven thunders mean what we think it means, and and disfellowship, and,
get it, brother.
You know, put a knife in their back.
What?
Kill their character.
Amen, brother. Preach.
What are we doing? Hitler on our way to the millennium?
That's it.
It won't work. It won't work.
No, sir.
So you can't, you know, put up a program and then, you know, those that don't agree with you, you just kill them.
Sure. Come on.
No, that's been done. That's been done. We find another character in history by the name of Stalin. I've picked some wonderful guys, haven't I? just wonderful men trying to just have a wonderful, wonderful world produced,
right?
I mean, we see the weird and horrible things that they've done, but in their hearts were they just, I want to be horrible because I am a horrible guy? Probably not. They were just trying to create what they thought was a great thing. Now, maybe it was selfish, maybe it was whatever. But it certainly wasn't because they were just trying to be mean. So we see a man by the name of Stalin, and so what he tried to do was create a millennium through a political system. And he created this communism, and we're all going to be one, and we're all going to be equal, and there's, you know, I'll be the first among equals, of course, but, you know, we're going to be equal, and everybody will share, and it'll be wonderful. Your neighbor will have what you have, and you have what your neighbor has, and it's this one great big global community, and it's going to be wonderful. And after all, isn't that kind of a picture of Acts chapter 2, where they sold their possessions and laid it at the apostles' feet?
Right.
I'm not saying that the Bible espouses communism, but...
Come on, brother, preach.
Read Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 3.
Right.
And it's not because it was something that was molded upon them that they had to do, but it was of their hearts. Something upon them that said, you know what? I don't need all of this stuff. It's way more than... And this sister, this brother, they don't have food. They need these things. So you know what? Let's build everyone up. Why? Because it was a Holy Spirit working on the inside. But you know what? These political systems, Brother Branham says, politics is corrupted.
That's right.
Democrats, Republicans, and all is low down. What is it? It's a bunch of graft. Every person who works in it that's not born again is of the devil.
That's right.
The devil said, every kingdom in the world belongs to me.
That's right.
And Jesus never debated with him.
Never.
The world is controlled by the devil, and every man that works for the government, if he ain't Christian, he is of the devil and working for the devil. These nations will all fall to Jesus Christ when he comes.
Hallelujah.
There will be a millennium.
That's right.
So we find that political systems, whether it could be the one that they have in Russia or that the one that they have in the United States, but political systems, as we can easily see in our country today, are not going to bring a millennium.
That's right.
And unfortunately, we still kind of haven't gotten that picture because we have church politics that happen.
Preach.
You know, and everybody, hey, we want a perfect church because we're going to be a perfect church.
That's right. Preach.
But it's the methods that we use to try to reach a perfect church. And, okay, this doesn't work, and this doesn't work, this doesn't work. So we're just going to create our own thing. And, we're, you know, you either got to be part or you're not. And
mercy. Amen.
And we have church politics. You know, or you need to be, you know, kind of under the leadership of this other church. You know, they're kind of the head one, and then, you know, they kind of have these little satellites, and, you know, you guys need to be talking, you know, this is what we need to be preaching, and forget it.
Amen, brother. Mercy.
Forget it. You know, the Catholic Church thought the millennium was on.
That's right, sure did.
You know that thousand-year period, period we call the Dark Ages? Yeah, Brother Brown said second or third seal. He says, what do they have? They had church and state united.
Yep.
They had the power.
Yes.
They had everything they needed. They had the power. You, if you didn't agree, you could be killed if you didn't agree with them.
Right.
And they had a pope who they thought was Jesus Christ on earth.
Sure.
And so, wow, you've got all power and Jesus is here. What is that? Well, that's a millennium.
That's right.
So that period we call the Dark Ages, this church said, oh, hey, we've got a millennium going on.
Amen.
Yeah, not a single one of us wish we ever would have lived or been part of that millennium. No, thank you. And so any time that we try to create some kind of system in our church, Dark Ages, Dark Ages. And we find these things creeping into the message. You know, some guy raises up and, praise God that Brother Branham gave us church order. And he said, every church is sovereign. And you guys can be together and you can have a vote of the church, and it can be the way that you want it. And you're not subservient to some other church. Praise God for that freedom. And we don't, and because we love that freedom, we don't want to push that onto anybody else.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Branham says, there hangs bombs, cobalt bombs, oh my, the proclamation rising up now to stop all interdenominations and consolidate to one great big evangelical church of the Protestants, which will cooperate and join with Catholicism to combat communism. Now, I'm going to assume that everybody saw that video.
Yes.
Where the Pope was saying, hey, we're all the same, you know, Spirit of Elijah is here to unite everybody.
Right.
Amen, just not what you're talking about.
Glory to God.
It's a work of the devil. Yes, sir. God never did associate Saint and Satan's church together. God leads his church, and he don't expect political leaders to lead them. Not even church politics. And every man that's born of the Spirit of God is free. Amen. We're free tonight. Each one of you is free to serve his conscience and what God reveals to his heart. And we don't allow these systems to, and it's a problem in the message.
Sure is,
I've
brother.
Seen it. There's, you know, boy, you've got to, you know, if you don't see the program, you know, well, oh well. And you just, you know, they never call, they never write. They don't want a part of it.
Amen.
What is it? What is that? Is that the love of God?
Get it, brother. Come on.
No, that's a system.
Amen.
That's a system.
Sure is.
Brother Branham says, I was riding with a dear old soul yesterday going to pray for a sick child, and when we got to the sick child, the family didn't want us to pray for it. It was just this man's idea. However, on the road up, this lady said, an old lady about 81 years old, smart, brilliant woman, very nice, but she said, I think what ought to take place, see, I think, that all the churches ought to come together and be one. That's exactly what the devil thinks. But God wants a separation of his church from the things of the world, and he don't
Amen.
Want it mixed up in church politics.
No, sir.
And what if God sent a Messiah to the world, and that this lady was only thinking the thoughts of the whole world? The whole world seems to think, yes, if we're the church, we ought to have this one great big assembly, you know, and it's like, okay, fine, we have one big assembly, sure, should we all be united in the faith? Absolutely. Should we all be in the same church, in the same assembly? Well, let's think about that for a moment. Is that going to be good? Is that going to be healthy?
Come on, brother.
You know, because I've been in churches in Minnesota, and they're very calm, like Minnesotans are, you know. And I've been in churches in the South, down there in West Palm Beach, Florida. And, you know, I was at, you know, in one service where my calves hurt the next day. I was preaching with very sore calves because we were doing this, like most of the service. Like, for a good hour, we were just jumping. We were just praising the Lord. We were just having... Now, does that mean they're more spiritual than the people in Minnesota? No. It just means they're different. And so you're going to put all these different people with different needs and different, you know, how they need to receive things and how they think and how, you know, their cultures and things like that, and you're going to put them all in one because we all ought to be one big happy family?
Nope.
Well, yes, we should be one big happy family, but we're all different people.
Amen, brother.
And it's okay if somebody likes a little more jumping and somebody likes a little more sitting, and they can be in two different churches and still love one another because these aren't systems.
Amen.
Amen. Each one, Brother Branham says, is trying to build a super denomination. It's too bad it gets into ours too.
My.
You know, we come and we find the Roman Empire. How did they try to create a millennium? Well, they just tried through military might to just beat everybody into submission. And boy, they had a great party in Rome for a few years, but everybody else was sure paying the price. They weren't thinking that that was a millennium until finally, you know, now it's a tourist attraction. And all their might and everything that they did and tried to do is just for naught.
Amen.
You know, now we study it in school. That's what Zion gets to do next year. You know? So all this great military might and everything that they did, and now an eighth grader studies them in school. Because what? They didn't achieve anything.
Amen. That's right.
They didn't put a millennium here on this earth.
That's right, brother.
So we think so many times we can use military might to try to produce the same thing. You know, I mean, I've got a Bible in one hand. I've got a message book in the other. Amen. We're going to produce a millennium here, people. Come on, saints of God. We're going to have a millennium. We're just going to start putting people down with the gospel. Just doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't.
It just doesn't work that way. Why? There's only one way to produce a millennium, isn't there?
Amen. Hallelujah.
That's repentance.
Hallelujah.
So we can beat people until they submit, like the Romans.
Right. Yeah.
And then, you know, somebody 200 years later, 2,000 years later, can study about that in school. Or we can just tell people, like, you need to repent.
Amen.
And it's going to be their decision whether they do or not. Now, should we witness? Should we? Yes, we should do all these things.
Amen, brother.
But take care that we are not subjecting people into our faith, because then it's just going to produce problems.
Amen.
Exactly right.
Brother Branham says a super church, super denominations. Everything is super. What has it always done? Everything that man put his hands on has failed.
Amen.
Now I begin to feel religious. Why? He's a failure to start with.
Thank you.
Everything that he has tried to achieve has failed. We've got the greatest medicines we ever had,
sure,
and yet it kills about as many as it cures.
Amen, brother. That's right.
We got the day of everything seems to be greater, but look what it's doing. It's knocking the life out of people.
Right.
I stood in Africa and watched malaria mosquitoes just by the piles upon the native's leg. Wouldn't hurt him.
Right.
Let one touch me, I'd be so full of all kinds of things. They shot my arms over there. I'd take malaria the first time one passed by me. See, it tears down the system. It might help here where it hinders here. It weakens us all the time. And look what we got today. A bunch of, I hate to say this, it sounds sacrilegious, but almost a bunch of educated idiots.
That's right.
That's right. I say as a missionary, it's a lot better to deal with an uneducated heathen than it is to deal with an educated heathen. A heathen is an unbeliever. That's exactly right. It's such a terrible thing that how we live, how horrible it is. So I want you to understand tonight, before we kind of move to a different train of thought, that there is nothing that we can do outside of repentance to bring on a millennium.
Amen. Amen.
If you can think, well, maybe this somebody's tried and somebody's failed at that already.
Yes.
Because he said everything that man has tried to do, achieve, has failed.
Amen.
Everything.
Yes, sir.
It has not worked. No matter how many, you know, lights we want to put on something, dress it up, make it look great, it doesn't matter. It's not. Otherwise, we wouldn't have to dress it up, put lights on it to make it look great.
Right. Amen.
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 Take care that we don't do that in our lives.
Sure,
we'll talk about that in a moment. And even down to, you know, I think one of the last time I was here, we talked about Lucifer quite a bit. And what was Lucifer trying to do? He was trying to improve on God's system, right? He thought he was prettier. He thought he had a better way of doing it. He thought, boy, it'd be great if people worshiped me too. So that's what he did. And then he gets cast out of heaven.
Uh-huh.
Amen?
Amen.
There is nothing you can do outside of repentance to bring on a millennium.
Amen.
So I want to ask a question tonight. And I want you to maybe just imagine with me, just a moment, have a little fun here. I want to take you somewhere. I want you to come with me somewhere. I have a place that I have created. And it, every friend that you have ever had and liked will be there. Every good food that you would want, you can have. No problems. It's just there for you. Plenty of cheesecake with strawberries. You know? Every beautiful thing that you ever saw, paintings, trees, mountains, whatever it is, will be there. It is going to be wonderful to behold everything that is there. Every pleasure that you would want is going to be there. I'm telling you, this place that I have made is going to be so wonderful you can't even imagine it. And everybody will be healthy. No crying will be there. How many would like to come?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we're going to grab a bus and we're all going to go. I'm going to take you there. There's just one small thing that I failed to mention that maybe just as a slight caveat we should talk about. But no big deal. I mean, everything I've said stands. Wonderful place to go. Just Jesus won't be there. But let's go. Everybody ready to go? You all wanted to go. Wait. Jesus not being there, I mean, come on. Cheesecake, anytime you want, and you won't get fat. You guys want to come, right? Jesus not being there is that big of a deal to you?
Yes, sir.
Really?
Yes.
Jesus just not, just, this is the greatest place you've ever known. It's just that he's not going to be there, so... I mean, it's better than here, right? Not if Jesus isn't there, right?
That's right.
Not if Jesus isn't there. Yeah. So it's a question that we have to ask ourselves. Could we be satisfied in our lives? Even if we had heaven itself, could we be satisfied if there wasn't Jesus there?
No, sir. No.
We couldn't. Why? Because the wonderful thing about heaven, the wonderful thing about the millennium is because Jesus is going to be there.
Amen.
Amen?
Yes.
That is the, you know, look, take the cheesecake away. Just give me Jesus. That's fine. I'm good.
Yes.
Right?
Lord. Yes,
amen.
Lord.
So Jesus is the central part of the millennium. Jesus is the central part of heaven then.
Amen.
Jesus is the central part of everything that we want.
Amen.
Big house, I want Jesus in it.
Amen.
Otherwise, don't give me a big house.
That's right, brother.
Right? Large piece of property with a beautiful river going through it. If Jesus isn't there, I don't want it.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Every good thing that we can think of that we would want, if Jesus isn't part of it, then we don't want it.
Amen.
Is that your testimony?
Amen. Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Boy, don't give me a millennium without Jesus. Don't give me a heaven without Jesus.
Right.
Then I would say to you tonight, don't give me tomorrow without Jesus. Don't give me next week without Jesus. Don't give me next month without Jesus. But yet many times in our lives, we who say we're seeking the country, I want a millennium. And by your own admission, I don't want the millennium without Jesus. And so here we are testifying. I'm seeking a country. I'm battling to get there. I'm taking these footsteps. I am going to find Jesus. I'm going to be there in the millennium. But yet in our daily life and in our daily walk, there are many times as throughout the days that we forsake Jesus.
Amen, brother. Preach.
Hear me, Lord.
Right? So you're telling me millennium without Jesus isn't worth it.
That's right.
Then I tell you every minute of every day without Jesus isn't worth it.
Amen.
And when we make the decision to forsake Jesus in our daily walk and in our daily life, we are testifying that I could be fine with a millennium without Jesus. But yet you all told me, no way, I'm not doing it. I'm not going there, no matter how good it is. Well, you know what? Sometimes we don't live in a millennium condition, but we're still forsaking Jesus.
Right.
When Jesus is the best part of the millennium.
Amen.
Jesus
Amen.
Is the best part of our lives, and we forsake him.
Sure.
My. So we then begin to realize that maybe then some of our walk, not saying all, but some of our walk maybe is some form of externalism to a point. Because if I'm willing to forsake Jesus or some part of my Christian walk every now and then, daily, weekly, monthly sometimes, then what am I testifying to?
Amen, brother.
That he's not my joy in that.
That's right.
Because we don't wake up going, I don't want to be happy today. Nobody does that. Everybody wakes up saying, I want to be happy today, right?
Good.
I don't want to wake up. Wake ups, hit me on the head with a baseball bat, please. Well, that's what we're doing when we wake up and say, yeah, I just don't have time today, Jesus.
Preach, brother.
Just a little bit later, I got a thing, and I'm not saying you have to pray and read your Bible in the morning or maybe at night or, look, it doesn't matter, but are we forsaking Jesus in our lives? Do we go through a day where I've been so busy and, I'm so tired. I didn't pray this morning or read my Bible, but I just can't tonight.
Yeah, brother. Exactly right.
You didn't want a millennium without Jesus. Lord, I can't imagine why we would want today without Jesus.
That's good, brother. That's really
because
good.
Today is a lot worse, and we need him a lot more today than we
Hallelujah.
Will in a millennium.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. We cannot forsake Jesus, and when we do, we testify. What we're saying is that some of my Christian walk is actually just kind of an external thing that I put on, and Jesus isn't my joy.
Oh, Lord, forgive me.
Mercy.
Amen.
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 That's true.
Forgive me, Jesus, because I do this so much. God help us. So let's just kind of look at this a little bit. And, you know, it doesn't matter if we are the best Sunday school student out there, if we are the most, we are here 30 minutes early. I don't miss a service. I am rock solid Christian and all of these things. Sisters can be, you know, the most holiness dressed, and brothers, you don't tell dirty jokes, or, you know, we're just clean, upstanding men. And all of that is wonderful, and all of that is something that we should do, but those things without Jesus,
Amen.
The joy of Jesus Christ in our lives, doing them because we value Jesus, are just externalism. And if that becomes externalism in our lives, what does that end up producing? What does that do? Brother Branham says in the message why, he says, it's not a good word to use, but when that predestinated seed lying in that little woman, he's talking about the woman at the well and how she was a prostitute. He says, that predestinated seed lying in that little woman, believing, watching, yet in her sinful condition, she was watching for a coming of a Messiah. You know, there may be people in our own lives that are watching for a coming of a Messiah. Maybe they're living in a sinful condition that they don't know how to get out of. But they're watching, they're looking for something real. They want to know, maybe that's you tonight. I am looking for some reality. I want to get out of this condition that I am in. But he says the church order in that day was so almost like it is today. She just as soon live like she was living. And because she's seen the ridiculousness of how people that profess to be religious and was nothing but a load of hypocrisy.
Amen.
And I say that not to be sacrilegious. I say that with honesty and sincere in my heart, with love for everybody.
Amen, brother.
You want to know why the woman at the well in your life is still the woman at the well living in that condition? Because she hasn't seen reality yet.
That's it.
She hasn't seen reality yet. Why hasn't she seen reality yet? Because it's not real on the inside.
It,
because if we'll forsake Jesus on a daily basis, then we're missing the point
Amen.
Of the Christian walk.
That's right.
What is it? It's supposed to be a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Because he loves us and wants us to come to him, to have communion and fellowship with him. That's why he created us.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Not so that he could have little robots that did exactly what he wanted us to do and dress the right way and look the right way and say the right things and do the right things. What is that? That's nothing. Is that all? Sure, those are the things we should do because of Jesus.
Amen.
Because of Jesus. And if we're out there just being that way without the reality on the inside of us and a daily communion with Jesus Christ, because that's what's going to produce the joy. That's what's going to produce the real life.
Amen.
He said she was a prostitute. Probably went to a cold, formal church that didn't do her any good.
That's
You see, what happens is we begin to get upright in our own, you know, well, I'm got my message patch
on
my shoulder,
better,
packing my Bible, packing my message book. I read one of these day, you know, and we just, okay, you've got the externalism. But you can read the Bible without Jesus.
That's right.
And you can read your message book without Jesus.
Again.
You can pray, honestly. Without Jesus, your mind is sitting there and just, okay, Lord, here I go, and bless this, and do this, and God is a vending machine to you.
That's it. Preach.
You're praying without Jesus.
That's right.
That's true.
My.
Amen, brother.
So then we realize that we've just kind of got some self-righteousness. We're upright.
Right.
The scripture says the soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. The just shall live by his faith.
Yes, Lord.
Back to some simplicity sometimes, brothers and sisters. We get so up here and all of these things, and then we forsake Jesus.
Amen.
And it cannot be done because he is the point of it.
Yes, Lord.
So we realize then that, okay, there's parts of me trying to just produce happiness, and I'm leaving Jesus sitting there, and I need to repent. Because if I want a millennium, I want to go to the millennium, there's one way.
That's right.
Repentance. What's the way to get to the millennium? I didn't hear that. Repentance. Thank you. Amen. So, but we, you know, there's a big problem with repentance, isn't there? I have got to be the weirdest preacher you've probably ever heard. I told my kids the other day in Sunday school that prayer was ridiculous. And that's exactly what they looked at me like. Were you guys all there? Yeah, so my point was that prayer was ridiculous, and that's why it's an act of faith.
Amen.
It's because
right.
It is so ridiculous. You're sitting there praying to a God who shouldn't even look at you because of your own sins and
right.
The things in your life, and you're just kind of talking in your mind, or maybe you're speaking it, and, you know, why should he even care or be there?
Right.
That's right.
Well, because he loves you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
But the fact of the matter is how arrogant it is to even think that God would answer one of us, prayers. It's absolutely ridiculous to think about. And so many times, I love what Brother Andrew said was, you know, it's like, you know, we're sitting there, and I loved your honesty, brother. You know, it's like, oh, she's going to die right there. You know, like, you know, we have these thoughts.
Uh-huh.
We do. It's like, oh, my goodness, you know, it's, woo, prayer line, but that person's sick. Man. I've had these thoughts, and then you go, "What? No, that's not. God can heal that. What am
Amen.
I thinking? You know, but to look at it, it's just like, no. I mean, why even ask God? That's ridiculous. That's terrible. How we?
Right.
That's why it's such an act of faith.
Amen.
That's why it's such an act of faith. So anyway, going back to where we were, you know, repenting is there's a problem with it, and that problem is it's just not any fun. Nobody likes to do it, right? It's, you know, none of us like to go, I am so dumb, forgive me. That's just not a fun feeling.
Right.
Nobody wants to actually repent.
Amen,
because it just isn't fun. And so another problem is that we know when we pray, we're going to be there in the presence of Almighty God, and he's going to know absolutely every
sure.
little spot in me.
Amen.
He's going to know.
Amen.
He knows my thoughts. You know, there was one time I was praying, and, you know, I was doing pretty good in my spiritual walk and overcome some things, and I was like, Lord, I just thank you. I mean, I was sitting on the Pharisee. You know, it's like, thank you, Lord. I'm feeling, you know, I've been doing so well. I've been in the Word lately, and I just thank you, Lord. And, you know, and he's like, What about your pride?
Yeah.
What about your arrogance? What about this? What about that? It's like, wow.
Thank you,
okay. I am not quite as good as I thought I was. Why? Because you get into his presence and it exposes every little fallacy that we have, and there are so many.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank God for his grace. Amen.
Lord.
So the problem, though, is we come to repent, and that's not fun, and it's not our first instinct not to do something that's not fun. We just don't like to do not fun things. And then we have to realize we're going to be in his presence. And you know, look at Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 6, he gets into God's presence, and what does he say? He says, woe is me.
Yes.
How many like to scream out, woe is me?
Amen.
We ought to, but is it fun? No, it's not fun. And we realize, we know in our minds, we think, if I pray, and I really pray, and I actually pray, and Jesus is actually there, and it's the kind of prayer that we ought to be having more often than not, and I get into that presence, I'm probably going to scream out, woe is me, because of the things that I've done, and my thoughts, and my deeds, and oh, everything, and and what do? We tend to, you know, Lord, God bless us, help us to sleep well tonight, give us our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, we'll forgive those who trespass against us, and let your kingdom come on this earth, because we want the millennium, Lord. Come quickly, Lord, we want the millennium.
Sure.
I don't want to talk about the issues going on here in my life, but I want you to come and have the millennium. Those two things don't go together.
That's right.
They cannot go together.
Amen.
Because what you're asking God is you're asking God, Lord, I want to be in the millennium, and I want sin to be there.
Come on, brother.
Does anybody want sin to be in the millennium?
No.
None of us want sin to be in the millennium. We want to be free from sin, but yet so many times we'll stop and we will not repent and say, Lord, forgive me for this. But we still want to be in the millennium. And so what we're asking God to do is to bring us with our sin into the millennium and spoil it for everyone else. No. Let's be honest with ourselves, brothers and sisters, and we, Lord, I repent. Get it out of me so that we can be in a wonderful millennium. Or the millennium won't be the millennium. Amen? So what do we try to do instead then? We try by our own strength. You know, we plant the palm trees straight, and we feather edge the yard, and we try to, you know, okay, I have some issues, but we're just going to try to cover over them, push those out as much as we can, and, you know, just try to act and be and do, and what is that? Externalism.
Right.
Because we're too afraid, because we're too unwilling to get out from our lives and repent in our lives of things that we need to get rid of.
Amen, brother.
We can't have people thinking we're not as holy, you know, as we want them to think, you know, so we got to kind of do what we need to do, you know, altar call, whoa, you know, haven't been to one of those in years, you know, I mean, I don't need altar calls anymore, I don't need to cry and all of that, because people will think, well, you know, he's been living under a rock, or he's been, you know, secret sinner there, you know.
Exactly, preach.
Two things wrong with that. Don't do that. Number two, don't be one of the people thinking that.
Right.
Silliness.
Yes.
Because we're all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So part of our problem then, what we'll begin to do, and I'm just walking through this because maybe it's happened in your own life. I know it's happened in my life. And we need to identify these things and get off these, you know, these ledges that we can put ourselves on that we can't seem to get off, and we need to just fall headlong in the arms of Jesus.
That's right.
You know, because we'll put ourselves, and then we'll get to a place where we're so hard and callous because we've been pushing this off, and God is trying to say, look, you need to repent and get this right, because that can't be in the millennium. And we, no, I'm going to fix it some other way. And we build a castle around us and, you know, and hide in this castle and try to make it grand and pretty and Christian and message-like and all these things.
Amen, brother. Preach it.
It doesn't work.
Yes, sir.
So the next thing we'll start to do, because, you know, getting down and praying and repenting isn't what we want to do, what we'll end up doing is, as it says in 2 Corinthians 10:12, we'll measure themselves by themselves, and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. So what it'll be is, you know, I want to know if I'm a decent preacher or not, so I'll listen to Andrew's sermons on the internet, and, you know, and I'll, okay, maybe I'm as good of a preacher as he is, or maybe I'm not. So then I'll think, oh, you know, man, I got a ways to go, apparently. Or, you know, I'll think, oh, maybe I'm a better preacher than him. I'll be like, oh, my, I don't have anything to worry about. You know, let's find somebody else. Yeah, you know, the way he does that, oh, my, you know, I wouldn't do that. That's just... And what do? You know, brothers and sisters, and it's your own, yeah, they just don't dress quite right, you know. And just, you know, this is a little higher, this is a little lower, this is a little, And we pick at things, and so what we do is we compare others and what that does to us, and it's just the devil doing this.
Absolutely.
And he's trying, because what he's trying to do is he's going to try to get everything that we can do not to repent.
That's right.
And so he's going to try to tell you you're a good Christian by comparing yourself with another Christian so that you're okay because there's others worse, you know?
Right.
And so he's going to take me before he takes them.
No.
No, if there's one going...
Yeah.
From Defiance, Ohio?
Right.
No, it's not you, brother. It's me, because I'm here right now.
And
that's the way we live our lives. It's like, Lord, I love you so much. I don't care what anybody else does. If you tell me and put it in my heart, I'm going to do it.
Amen.
So if it's repentance, fine. I repent. If it's whatever it is, Lord, I will do it because I am that one. Why? Because I love you so much.
Amen.
Amen. Not because we just want to be in a wonderful millennium with cheesecake. Why? Because we want Jesus.
Amen.
Because what's the best part of the millennium?
Jesus.
Because Jesus is there.
Hallelujah.
My. So, you know, we try to produce the right kind of life. You know, we think, okay, I need to receive the Holy Ghost, and we get impatient sometimes. So what we try to do is start just producing manually kinds of things that we think Holy Ghost people do, and so we start doing those on our own accord. Left Jesus at the door. We've left him at the door. We don't want that to happen at the millennium. So why would we want to have that happen now? It is about Jesus.
Amen.
Might take faith. Might take patience. You know, I was at a service one time, young people service, and there was this brother. I mean, he was beating the altar like I've never seen anybody beat an altar before. I mean, this young man wanted Jesus in his life. I mean, I was in awe. I mean, this brother had zeal, and I could tell he'd been there before. I mean, you just could look at this brother and you thought, why is he even at the altar? I mean, this is probably the cream of the crop right here in his church. You know, he is probably, you know, in zeal and in passion and love for the Lord. This is the brother right here, and he's sitting here just, I mean, there's not going to be anything left of this platform if we let him go all night. What was the cause of him being here? If he's that kind of a young man, and why is he there? I just said, you know, brother, I think you've been here before, haven't you? Yeah, brother. I want the Holy Ghost so bad. Amen. That's wonderful. That's a great desire. I believe God's going to grant that desire. I said, but you've been to many altar calls looking for that, haven't you? He said, oh, brother, yeah, I have. So here's what I want you to understand. In Acts 2:38, he says, if you repent and baptize the name of the Lord Jesus, you shall be filled. How many times does 2 and 2 equal 4? Every single time. 2 and 2, 4. 2 and 2, 4. 2 and 2, 4. Repent, baptize, shall receive. Repent, baptize, shall receive. Every single time. I said, brother, your problem is that you see your own sins and your own failings to be stronger than God.
That's it.
And you don't believe what he said in his word.
That's it.
That if you do these things, you shall be filled. As brother, believe.
Amen.
He said he would do it. Believe it.
Amen.
This time. That he will do it. You keep praying, brother. Yes, repent. But realize that once you do, and tell Lord, I'll repent of it. If you reveal it to me, if I haven't, you tell me you have that desire, he is going to do it. He's obligated to do it.
Right.
Because his word says so.
Right.
So, brother, you believe that.
Hallelujah.
But many times we don't have the patience.
That's
we don't
it.
Have the faith.
That's it.
And we just, oh, look, I'm so terrible.
Yep.
It's about Jesus.
Hallelujah.
It's about Jesus. But my, what we end up doing is comparing ourselves and putting on this externalism, and we don't want to just spend that time in the Word of God and in genuine prayer to get it for ourselves. Which is kind of funny to think about it. But, oh, I don't want to spend a long time trying to get the Holy Ghost. I don't want to actually, you know, really meditate on the Word. Or wait a minute. You don't want to meditate on the Word a whole bunch. You don't want to pray a whole bunch to receive something from God. Wait. What you're saying is you don't want to spend a whole lot of time with Jesus?
I
thought that's what you said you wanted in the millennium.
Right.
So which is it, brothers and sisters?
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Do you want to spend if you want to spend a whole bunch of time with Jesus, then why don't you want to spend a whole bunch of time with
Lord
Jesus
God.
Now? You see how we get things so wrapped Praise around God. And we try to just make the message like a suit that we put on.
Right. Amen.
We try to make our Christianity this thing we just put on.
Amen.
And it's wonderful. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Come on.
But it's not just an external thing. It's a relationship with somebody that's going to be in the millennium that we want him to be there so that it will be a wonderful time.
Right. Amen.
The greatest thing about the millennium is because Jesus is there.
Yes.
So, say you want to have friends. You know, many young people are desperate to have friends. Oh, I just want to have friends so bad. Pick the friends.
Yeah.
That Jesus is going to be around too.
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
Because if you want Jesus in the millennium, you want Jesus now.
Amen.
And in everything that we do, the right husband, the right wife, the right girlfriend, the right boyfriend, the right thing to do, the right hobbies to have, the right pick the one that Jesus is going to be a part of.
Amen.
Because if you want Jesus in the morning, you want him now.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I know knew a girl. You know, just your standard young person. You know, what do they want? Wife. You know, guys want a wife. You know, and kids have a little family. Girls want a husband. Kids have a little family. You know, so what do they do? Well, you can either wait on Jesus.
Come on.
Yeah. Get it, brother.
Or you can go your own way and, you know, hope that the one you find is going to be. Jesus is going to be there, but maybe not, because you're not doing it in the right way. It's probably not going to happen.
Amen.
And what do we find? We find catastrophe.
Absolutely.
It doesn't work. And years later, when it just all blows up and it didn't work, because it was never the right thing to begin with, and
that's right.
How many years have I wasted?
Sure.
How many don't waste that time?
That's right, brother. That's good.
If Jesus isn't there, it's a waste of time.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Completely.
Amen. Amen.
Can you all say that? If Jesus isn't there, it's a waste of time. Amen. All right. So, you know, Mahi, but hopefully there isn't even anybody in here, but if there is, you know, that don't even try. I'm not even trying to put on externalism. I'm just going to, you know, I'm just going to associate, but, you know, I'll watch my movies and I'll do my stuff and I'll go out and hang and, you know, do the worldly things that I like to do and, okay, I'll come to church because that's a good thing to do. And but you know what? We just got to ask something. Your favorite movie star? Gonna be in the millennium?
Good.
Come on. Hopefully. You know, God is good. God can be merciful, but by and large, your typical movie star today is probably not gonna be in the millennium.
Sure.
But yet we spend a whole lot of time with somebody that's not gonna be there then.
Right.
Wow, that's kind of interesting. You know?
Yeah,
we spend so much time with things that we not even going to be there.
Right.
By our own testimony.
Yeah.
Jesus isn't there, we don't want it, but then we go and do that.
Right.
We
Thank
need
you, Lord.
To sink in. Let God sink these things into our hearts. You know, if this Christian walk isn't a joy to you, if it's not a joy to you, you've missed something.
Amen.
You've missed something. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine. I've been witnessing to him quite a bit, you know, and we were talking about basketball game and, you know, and everything. And I was saying, yeah, you know, I'm preaching and stuff like that. And I said, I'm not big on it. Even Brother Branham makes a statement, you know, you get all happy at a baseball game or a basketball game, you know, and, you know, they're unholy rollers and we're holy rollers. You know, they look at us like we're weird because we get happy in church and things like that. And,
sure.
And I'm not a huge one to try to pump people up with that kind of thing. And, you know, come on, people, praise the Lord. I'm just not, you know, look, if God's speaking to your heart, praise God.
Amen.
If not, well, just be you, you know. Don't just try to make me feel better, you know.
Right.
You know, just, man, let it be real.
Yeah,
that's what I want, you know. So, but I was, you know, saying, you know, and I mentioned, you know, that, you know, you you get a happy about a three-point shot at the buzzer, you know, and everybody just goes crazy and everything, you know, and nobody does that in church. And he's like, well, yeah, but, you know, a three-pointer at the buzzer is more exciting than, you know, than Jesus. I was like, you did not just say that. He's like, well, no, I mean, you know, he's like, you know, I mean, just in the moment there, you know, and I'm like,
No.
There is never one three-point shot at the buzzer any more interesting than when Jesus put this move
on.
Amen?
Hallelujah.
Infinitely more interesting. Infinitely more exciting.
Glory.
Infinitely more wonderful than the best, closest game you've ever won. Primary reason is Jesus. Let's go through Malachi. I just want to hit repentance really good and hard. So really quick, if you turn as we just try to bring this to a close, the book of Malachi, chapter 1. Amen. Just try to go through this really quick. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob. I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down, and they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. A son honoreth his father, a servant his master. If then I be father, where is mine honor? And if I be master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon my altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if you offer the blind for a sacrifice, is it not evil? If you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? So if you were going to bring a lamb for an offering, and it was, you know, one leg missing and blind and all nasty and everything, and you're going to bring this lamb for an offering. And, you know, let's say, okay, we're going to go have a feast, and I'm going to come over to my brothers and say, here, brother, I brought the lamb for the offering. You know, shoot little maggots and goes off there. Here, is it going to be a good time?
Uh-huh.
And he's going to be like, no, why? What are you bringing this to me for?
Sure.
And this is just my brother.
Yeah.
President Obama!
Yeah.
Let's have a feast!
Yep.
And he's going to be like, oh my. You wouldn't ever think about doing such a thing.
Yeah, brother. Exactly.
Right.
And this was what Israel was doing.
Amen.
The clean, perfect lamb that they were supposed to be bringing, they weren't bringing that. They were bringing just something second rate, just whatever.
Mercy.
Is that what we bring to God?
Yeah, brother.
In our repentance. In our talking about our sin to him. Oh, Lord, here. Yeah. Whoops. Or is it a heartfelt sense of repentance? Because, look, we're never going to take a millennium without repentance. So if we're going to be repentant, be sincere. And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will he regard your persons, saith the Lord? Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. This is God we're talking about. He is telling us who he is, how wonderful he is, how great he is, that he's not just your brother. Not that there's anything wrong with my brother, but, you know, as we come up the ladder, we see the level of respect that we ought to have for God.
Right.
And he's saying, this is who I am.
Yeah.
Are you going to bring me just whatever? Are you going to give me the leftovers? No. I have no pleasure in that. Look, I am God. I created you. But ye have profaned it, and as you say, the table of the Lord is polluted, the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Ye also said, behold, what a weariness is it. Have we gotten that way about our repentance? Has it become just the yearly thing? Here's the lamb. Wrap it up on the altar. Do your thing, priest. You come to the Lord. Lord, here I am. Sinned again. I really get tired of this. Can I just have a pass for next year too? Because, you know, I'm probably going to do it again. That's not even repentance, friends.
That's right.
That's not even repentance. You've also said, behold, what a weariness is it, and ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. Ye have brought that which was torn and lame and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver which hath in his flock a male and voweth and sacrifices unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you. I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because ye do not lay it to heart. That's pretty sober, isn't it? Brother Branham said, bring back the old-fashioned prayer meetings, the real godly repentance, the all-night altar service. O Pentecost, hear me. Leave, O leave this corruption that Jezebel has worked among you. Leave it quickly and return back to the word of the Lord. Away from this Hollywood showmanship, you know, our externalism. Turn with your whole heart back to the word of God. Turn back to the power of the Holy Ghost. You women dress like women, and you men act like men, like sons and daughters of God. Turn from this Jezebel system that's choking you and blinds you. God, help us to have a true repentance, not half-heartedly. You can't do it. Amen. Romans chapter 8 says, the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. And it says, but if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Don't try to do something on your own. Don't try to make a millennium on your own. Just come and bring a sincere repentance before God with anything that would be in our lives that we would need to get rid of. Amen. God bless you. Brother Andrew, come.
Stand together. Hallelujah. Nice word from the Lord tonight.
Softly, can we bow our heads together? I know it was
was a sobering time in the house of the Lord, but I know that that was ordained from God Almighty. It's not a time to play church, everyone that's here tonight. I believe you to be the church of the living God, but how many would just, with the upraised hands, say, not to me, but to the Lord, say, Father, I rededicate, I'm so sorry. God bless each one. I believe he sees each one. He sees each heart that's behind that hand. Just give it all to him now. Let's leave. Remember when the Pharisee came, he thought he was already good. And he, as Jesus said, he left worse off than he was before he got there. But the man that beat his chest and said, God have mercy on me, a sinner. The Bible said, Jesus said himself, that man left justified. He left. He could leave happy because it was gone. That whole burden that was on his shoulders when he got there, the Lord came and he took it away. So Christian, that's how we know. This is how you know. Respect the Lord now. Each head bowed. Don't look around. Respect each other. Respect the Lord. When you repent, how you know you touch the throne of God is the burden will leave you. And if you leave still burning, that's the devil lying. He's telling you, or you just need to let go more. You're holding on some pride somewhere. There's no room for pride. All the pride that we had was already put on the cross. It should be dead. Totally surrender to the Lord. I don't feel to do anything else but just to take a time for you to evaluate your heart. Me as well. I'm not no exception. I heard from God tonight. He spoke right to me on many things. I had been praying, God, I feel on a plateau. What's wrong with me? And I begin to realize this is what it is. Too much pride about my experience sometimes. It's just time to mean what we say. It's time to mean we're Christians, Lord. We are going to be Christians. We know we fall and fail, but we're going to be Christians. We're going to repent. We're going to turn our minds away from those wicked things, and we're going to follow you, Lord. And if we fall again tomorrow, we're going to do the same thing tomorrow, because every day we rely on your blood, Lord.
Yes.
We rely on the Spirit to come and to give us unction, to lead us in the right ways, and we can't do anything without you, Lord. We can't think right. We can't talk right. We can't eat right. We can't do one thing right, Lord, unless you're here. Oh, Jesus. Lord, and I just love the Lord. Let's pray together. You pray with all your heart, your own way. You are in a one-on-one conference right now. Don't worry about a neighbor. Don't worry about looking around. You look on Jesus, and you talk to him with all your heart. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the word that you've sent us tonight. We thank you that you're our Father. That, Lord, you're not an old doty grandpa that sits on a rocking chair and just pats us on the back. Lord, knowing that sin, if it stays in our life, would kill us, Lord. But you're a Father, and we're in your hands, and when we watch sin try to get into our lives, we're happy that you spank us, Lord. So that we'll wake up as the man did that sold his father's inheritance. How he woke up and he found himself and says, why am I down here? I'm the son of a king. Lord, we thank you that you do that for us. And I pray for the children of God tonight that you would set each captive free, Lord. And may they repent of anything that's in their heart. Any wickedness, anything that we've allowed the devil to sneak into our houses, into our lives, into our minds, into our hearts, into our homes. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, forgive us. Wash us again by the blood. And let the Holy Ghost just unction in our hearts that it's been forgiven. Lord, and that each soul tonight can walk out of here justified by the blood of Christ. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord. Lord, we want to pray for our brother Trevor, Lord, for bringing the word tonight. I know it wasn't. It's not easy to say these things, but we're happy, Lord, that you say them to us. We pray you bless him and the family for their sacrifice being here tonight. Lord, receive glory out of our lives. May this word with all our hearts, Lord, may it sink into our hearts. May it not just be a one-day thing, but Lord, when we wake up tomorrow, when we wake up Monday and wake up Tuesday, may we continually remember what was brought tonight. That if we ever hope to pass out of this life, we need to have Jesus now, for why would we have him there? Grant it, Lord, to each believer. Lord, may they recognize the enemy. May they see that many times, Lord, it's themselves. That, Lord, the Satan just knows how to get into the flesh and to get us to think that we want things that we, on the inner man, doesn't want. God, I pray you help each believer to identify the battle and to fight accordingly. We're in a promised land, Lord, and we have to take every inch. Equip the children of God with revelation tonight. that they are the sons and daughter of God, and they've been predestinated to overcome these devils. And they will, with your help and with your spirit. We love you, Lord, and appreciate you, Lord. Pray that this word would have the effect you want it to have in each heart. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. And before we sing it again, Dad, we're going to sing that song again. If you have a need of prayer, I believe you come forward. We'll, Brother Trevor and myself will pray with you. I believe in the Lord will answer your prayers. I believe he can answer you right where you're at, too. Don't be in a hurry, though. If there's any burden, don't leave it here. Leave it at the altar and let the fire from God come down and burn it off there. And take the sacrifice home. You're Christians. You're free. You're free. Leave free. Let's worship the Lord tonight.
Unto me the joy of thy salvation. Oh,
Heavenly Father, I appreciate. hallelujah, Lord.
Ooh, Heavenly Father,
we thank you, Father.
I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Lord, I love you, I adore you, I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you.
Clap of praise together tonight.
Yes,
just
amen.
Worship. Thank you, Father.
Thank
you, Lord. Hallelujah. We appreciate you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Thank you,
Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, blessed God. How many can say it was good to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. Amen. Well, Brother Trevor here this afternoon as well. Well, it's afternoon. But have Brother Trevor here tomorrow. Hope you all, if they can come out. I guess I'll go ahead and say it to you, Brother Jason wants to get baptized tomorrow from what he told me, and I'm really thrilled about that. I know there's other people in here who are pretty happy about that as well. It makes me go back to a time when, you know, we always look things, hindsight's 2020, but you only went about 5 or 6 years ago, you realized there wasn't, my dad didn't have two preaching sons. He realized that I was witnessing to a brother who told me he was afraid to get delivered because he wants to play video games. He don't want to get delivered. That man's a pastor right now. He's the same God. One man can apply a token, and as the brother said, it takes faith and patience. It'll happen. And I believe that, and I'm so happy. Just even thinking about baptizing, it made me go back to when Stephen, my older brother, got baptized, and just how the Lord was just there, and it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? We get healing, and that's wonderful, that's great, we just get blessed, and oh, I love that. But when a soul gives themselves to God, it's everything. There's nothing else, everything else is great, but that's the main thing that has to happen, and I'm so happy for that. So we'll come, we'll do that after tomorrow's service. Lord bless Brother Jason for giving his heart to the Lord. I don't want to prolong the time, I suppose, but we'll sing. I'll give you to that, and we'll worship a few. What's that song that's on there? How many creations are? I think it's in the key, right? How many's a new creation tonight? Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I think we should sing about it then. God bless you, saints.
I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man.
Love you.
Things are past.